night. We will have service back in here Sunday morning and no service Sunday night. All minds clear, say amen. All right, if you will, go in the Bibles to the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 11. And here's a little bit of humor for you because we need a little humor. So here it is. Wife, did I get fat during quarantine? Husband, you weren't really skinny to begin with. Time of death, 11 p.m. Cause, COVID. So let's go to Hebrews 11 and verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we just ask again that as we are here, that we would come in unity, spirit, soul, and body. And for the next few minutes, God, that we would just, Lord, expound your word and be encouraged by it in the name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. God bless you. You can be seated. There's many people who are feeling the daily struggle in the sea of uncertainty about our economy, the daily struggles that we have and the changes with COVID, racism, and social injustice. And so many people are asking, Pastor, what are we going to do? Well, I will say this. For so long, we as the people of God, Americans, we have been very comfortable. And we all like comfort. Every one of us in here like to be comfortable. There's really nothing wrong with that. We like to be comfortable and we like things just right. But I'm here to tell you, the day of everything being just right is now long gone. It's long gone. I want you to get this word, please. Earth is not heaven. And it never will be. And I know we haven't maybe done it intentionally, but unintentionally, what we have done is we've tried to make earth heaven. And this earth will never be heaven because earth is permanently scarred by sin and sickness. And this earth is messed up and it will continue to be messed up. And we cannot, no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we pray, we cannot make earth heaven. And America, it blows my mind, but America has gone from comfortable to chaos in just a few short months. And brothers and sisters, this thing, what it looks like to me, is unraveling from the very seams of America's fabric. And so here we are. We're seeing the daily news and we're getting fed all that is happening in the world. And then on the top of that, if you don't have a blind eye to it, the scope of hate is literally sighted in on the Christian community. And you've got a group of people that think that if we could get Christians out of the way, that we could have a utopia, but Christians are the one that's causing all of this. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, the day has come where they will call good evil and evil good. And we are living in it. And here's what the scripture says. I'm going to read you scripture of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I'm sorry to tell you this, but if you see the word of God, you will suffer persecution if you're going to try to live godly. Look at verse 13, and it goes on, but evil men and imposters will do what? Talk to me. It'll grow worse and worse. Now, I'm not being condescending, but here is the fact. It can't get better and better. If the scripture says it's going to get worse and worse. We cannot, no matter how much we pray or try, we cannot make earth heaven. It's not going to be heaven. Now, I'm not getting up here to depress you because I want to bring you hope. And we do have hope. But our hope is not on earth. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And our hope is not in the U.S. economy. Our hope is in the kingdom of God. And as much as we love America and as much as we love this earth, the reason why you don't hear many messages on heaven anymore is because we all have it pretty good down here. To be honest with you, we've got it pretty good. We've earned pretty good livings and we're living pretty comfortable lifestyles. So it's not that we don't think about heaven. It's just not a place we're really in a hurry to get to. I can't prove what I'm about to say, but here's what I think. God is using COVID just kind of like an eagle. If you study about an eagle, you will find out that that mother eagle starts taking out a lot of the comfortableness of that nest. And then those sticks start poking that little eaglet because it's time for that little eaglet to fly. And as long as that nest stays comfortable, that eaglet never wants to learn to fly. And I think what God is doing is taking out a lot of the comfortableness of some of our nest so that he can get us where he wants us to be. Can I get a witness? So you say, Pastor, then what do we need to do? Well, first of all, what we all need to do is not drink in this toxic culture. Don't drink in the toxic culture. We don't need to allow the enemy to divide us over little things. And it can happen. We have to be on guard. We're going to stay with eternal things. We're not going to divide over racism. God has called us as Christians to love everybody. Not everybody has to be on your front row because you don't have enough room for everybody on your front row. But God has called for you to love everybody. We are called to love everyone, no exceptions. We are called to love everyone. So we're not going to divide over racism. We're not going to divide over social distancing. We're not going to divide over something as small as a mask. We're going to keep the main thing, the main thing. Brothers and sisters, if you want to know what is the answer to the world's problems, here it is right here. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. The gospel is the answer to the world's problems. Yes, it is. Now, I realize that as we have been dealing with COVID, that much of our lives has been put on hold. I was talking to a man in the funeral business the other day. He says that our morgues are full because people are sick and they don't want to bury their loved ones until they are getting better. And literally, they are now having to tell people we can't wait any longer because we don't have room to put more people. Because our lives are being on hold because we're wanting to get well so that we can attend to our families. And I get that and I understand that, rightfully so. But let me pose this in another light. If you and I are not careful, COVID can also put us in a very lethargic state. And if we're not careful, we can waste an abundance amount of time being like a kitten on a screen door, just hoping that this hurries up and gets done with. But listen, we are called to a higher standard and a higher calling. And God does not want us wasting our time even during COVID. We got to be about our Father's business. We got to keep making disciples. We got to keep encouraging people, offering people hope. Can I get a witness? It's easy, brothers and sisters, to find an excuse and start digressing. That's not what we need to do. So let's don't blame anybody else for the direction of our lives. Let's remember this. We are as close to God as we want to be. Can I get a witness? If you're feeling far from God because of COVID, guess who moved? You did. Here's the scripture. Draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. If you're not feeling close to God, then go back and look how you're investing your time. We got to keep today. We got to keep our eyes off of people and we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. God has always had a church. And I'm going to tell you, COVID nor the gates of hell are going to prevail against the church. God is going to have a church. And guess what? I plan on being in it. Do I love coming to this physical building to have church? Yes, I do. Was it very difficult on me to preach to an empty building? Yes, it was. And I hope we don't have to go back there. But if we do, we're still going to maintain our relationship with God. God can still speak to us in our homes. We can still have Bible study in our home. We can still read the Word of God for ourselves. I know this is very elementary, but I'm talking to you as a loving pastor because I love you and I care for you. Be very careful what you feed your mind, because as your thoughts go, so goes your feelings. As your feelings, so goes your emotion. And as your emotions go, so goes your actions. That's why you got to be careful what you feed your mind. I'm not saying don't watch the news. I'm saying don't get drunk on it. Listen, we're not here to hate the world. I hear a bunch of us, and I have been guilty myself, so I'm doing my best to change, okay? I've been saying the world is crazy. What is so wrong with the world? The world has lost its mind, and I do believe that. But now what I'm doing is I'm trying to do better. I've got to stop judging the world because the world is only doing what the world does. They haven't been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. They don't have the knowledge that you and I have of God's word. So guess what? I've stopped judging the world and I just want to love the world. I want to offer the world hope because the world can't offer itself hope. But we can offer them hope. Can I get a witness? So we don't hate the world. We love people and we quit condemning the world because Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn it. He come into the world to save it. He come into the world to love people. And as the body of Christ and as your pastor who loves you deeply, I just want to remind you of something. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. I'm going to say that again. What is wrong with America? Here it is in a nutshell. The heart of the problem of America is the problem of the heart. And you can pass 1,000 new laws, but that's not going to change people's hearts. Change cannot and never will come from 1,000 new laws. Change has to come from the inside. And if it doesn't come from the inside, brother, it's not true change. It's got to come from the heart. It's got to come from people changing on the inside. So how do we change? Here's the heart of what I want to say to you. Well, the way that you change anything, you say, Pastor, how do we change? The way you change anything is to change the value of it. Okay? Here it is. If you want to change your marriage, change the value that you put on it. If you want to change your health, change the value you put on your health. You want to change anything on your job, put a different value on it. Anytime you change the value of something, it will change the circumstances. See, only the right values is going to give you the future that you want. Tell me right now what you are choosing, because the choices you and I are making today will determine where we're going to be tomorrow. If you hadn't got anything I've said, listen to this. Smart people and wise people are always asking this question. What do I need to do today to get me to where I want to be tomorrow? I'm going to say that again. Wise people and smart people are asking the question, what do I need to do today that is going to get me where I want to be tomorrow? If watching 4 hours of social media is not going to get you to where you want to be tomorrow, then change your habits today. Can I get a witness? God gave you a choice. Every one of us in this room have a choice. And God says, choose life over death. Choose success over a cursing. Choose happiness over unhappiness. And guess what? That's not God's choice. That's not Satan's choice. That's your choice. And you have to wake up every day and say, I'm going to choose to be blessed. I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose happiness. I'm going to make that choice. God cannot drag you to an altar, and the devil can't drag you to a bar. Can I preach this morning? Can I say it again? God cannot drag you to an altar, because if he could, some of your mama's prayers, God would have already drugged them to an altar, because you prayed hard enough for God to do it. But God can't do it. He won't do it. That's a better way to say it. He can do anything, but he won't do it. And the devil can't drag your baby to a bar. So you know what? It's a personal choice that every one of us have to make every day. Who am I going to serve? What's my attitude going to be like? What's my thoughts going to be like? Am I going to get drunk on the toxicity of this culture? Or am I going to drink in this word? Am I going to do this and waste my life? Or am I going to do this and invest my life? It's a choice that we have to make on a day-to-day basis. Can I keep preaching? So here's what you got to do. Here's the number one value. I hope you get this. The number one value of beginning to change your life is redefining who you are. In other words, refuse to be defined by others. I'm not going to be defined by others. Others are not going to put me in a box and define me. So you say, Pastor, what does that mean? It means, who are you letting determine your identity? Is that your spouse? Is that your boyfriend? Is that your girlfriend? Is that your coworkers? Who are you letting? Is that TV? Is it social media? Who are you letting determine your identity? This is a powerful verse in Romans 12 and verse 2. And this is J.B. Phillips' translation. I don't know if we have it, but I love this translation. Here it goes. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your mind from within. See, what the world wants to do is the world wants you to get drunk on its culture. But God says, don't let the world squeeze you into a mold, but be renewed by how you think. How do you do that? You get into this word and let this word begin to renew your mind so that you can prove the plan that God has for you. Here's 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4. It says, our purpose is to please God, not people. I'm going to say this again, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. I know this is elementary preaching, but when you get to heaven, social media is not going to give an account for you. TV is not going to give an account for you. Celebrities are not going to give an account for you. You're going to stand, and I'm going to stand before God, and we're going to stand alone before him, and he's going to be the one that judges the motive of our hearts. Can I get a witness? So when you finally settle who's going to determine your identity, it really makes you resistant to the fear of disapproval. What do you mean by that? Well, that's one of your biggest fears. One of your biggest fears in here is this. What will people think? What will people think? You know why you don't talk to people about Jesus? Here it is. You ready? What will they think? So we don't talk to people about Jesus. And yet it would be a crime, brothers and sisters, if you had a cure for COVID and didn't share it. And yet we've got a cure for the world. And yet we're more afraid about what people are going to think. And so we don't say anything about Jesus. And the number one way to get people to church is just a simple invitation. But we're more worried about what people will think. So here's the number one thing. Refuse to be defined by others. I'm going to be a child of God. I'm not going to be abrasive. I'm going to use wisdom, but I'm going to be a child of God. I'm going to hold to the word of God. You can call Christians stick in the mud. You can call us whatever you want to. But call me gone one day. Because I believe in this word. I believe there's a real heaven. I believe there's a real God. I believe there's a real judgment. Can I get a witness? I want to challenge you this morning as I hasten. Do not let your life be defined by other people. Here's the second value that I would encourage you to get a hold of. Choose short-term pain for long-term gain. Most of the problems in our life come from the inability to delay gratification. If you go on Google and fact check me, you'll find out that the average American is $18,000 in credit card debt. You know why? Because we haven't learned to delay gratification. We're buying things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. And you know what that's called? It's called stupid. It's what it's called. It's called stupid. I'm not calling you stupid. I'm calling that stupid. Because we've got drunk on the toxicity of this culture that says it's all about what you possess. It's all about pleasure. It's all about power. It's all about prestige. And the church has bought into that. And we're trying to make earth heaven, and earth will never be heaven. And it's not about what you have that makes you any special. It's about who you are. And we're giving up long-term gains we're giving up long-term gains because we're afraid of short-term pain. How many of you would agree with me that sometimes the right thing to do is the hardest thing to do? Would you? Sure. Why is that? Because, you know, we rarely do the right thing. Why? Because it's the harder thing to do. You attack me, I'm just being honest. You attack me, I'm going to attack you. Right? You criticize me, I'm going to criticize you. Do I want to forgive? No. Why? Because it's the harder thing to do. Here's what Hebrews 11 and 25 says. Moses chose to be mistreated. That's short-term pain. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Now, the Bible makes it very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that sin is fun for a season. If it wasn't fun, nobody would be doing it. So what I love about the Bible is that it doesn't cover up the truth. It tells you very openly, sin is fun, but here's the catch, for a season. So now you can go out there and get your kicks, but you're going to get the kickbacks. Because it's only for a season. All right? I mean, come on, let's be honest. What's easier to do? What is easier to do? Watch a bunch of movies and get a big bucket of Bluebell ice cream and popcorn and watch movies? Or go into your room and pray. Oh, by the look of some of you, wow. It's so awesome to just be among such holy people. Praise God. Well, y'all pray for a sinner like me. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes it's easier for me to want to go entertainment and Bluebell ice cream than it is to go in and pray. Right? Why? Because it's not the easy thing to do. It's not easy to go in and read your Bible. It's not easy to take a day of fasting. It's not easy. But we have to choose short-term pain for long-term gain. Let me share this with you. People can hurt you. How many know that's true? People can harm you. People can scar you. But get this. No one can ruin your life. Not even Satan. No one can ruin your life. I know we say the devil made me do it. I get what you're saying, but that's not true. The devil cannot drag you to a bar. The devil cannot make you drink. He cannot make you snort or shoot up or watch this or go there. He can't do it. He only has power when we give him that power by our choices. You and only you can ruin your life. You say, Pastor, you don't know the woman I live with. Pastor, you don't know the man I live with. No, I don't. And I know that things can get difficult, but we still have a choice to make. Your choices are way more important than your circumstances. Can I keep preaching? Let me give you another one. Most of America doesn't get this. And here it is. You are going to have pain in your life. Doesn't matter who you are. The only thing fair about life is that it treats everybody unfair. You're going to have pain in your life. And here's what I have preached to Trey and to Molly. Here it is. You either pay now and play later, or you play now and pay later. But if you play now and pay later, the pay's always greater. So you just have to make up in your mind, do I want it easy now and hard later, or do I want it hard now and easy later? Because every life, brothers and sisters, is going to have pain. Nobody escapes it. You just have to decide, what do I want? Do I want to do the hard work now and enjoy life, or do I want to play now and then at the end of my life have to do the hard work? Here's what I want to leave you with. Choose what God values and not what the culture values. Hebrews 11 and 26. Moses regarded the disgrace for the sake of Christ. In other words, he was going to be put down as a slave, and he would rather be known as a slave than to value the treasures of Egypt. Now, you got to understand something real quick. All the wealth of the world at that day was centered in Egypt. It was. And Moses was going to inherit all of it. And you know what he says? He says, it's more important for me to be with the people in their pain than it is to be with the devil's people in their pleasure. Now, you think about that. He's staring the world's wealth of Egypt in the face, and he says, no. He said, it's more important for me to be with God's people in their pain than it is for me to be with the devil's people in their pleasure. Think about it. So obviously, brothers and sisters, he wasn't looking at things that were temporal. He was looking at things that are eternal. And so Moses evaluates, he looks at stuff, he makes a judgment, and he clarifies what matters most. And he says, I think I'll choose short-term pain for long-term gain. So I'm going to ask you a question. Here it is. If I were to ask you to write down your top three values, could you do it? I'm not going to ask you to do that now, though I think it's a very good exercise to do once you get home. But listen, if you don't know what's important to you, then other people will decide for you. I'm going to say that again. If you don't know what's important to you, other people will decide for you. And what's happening is this is what's happening, and I'm not here to condemn anyone, But what the church is doing is we're drinking about 80% of the world's culture and about 20% of God's culture. And we're wondering why that it's not working God's way. You can't live and digest the world's culture and then come in here on Sunday and think because you gave in the offering now that God's going to do it His way in your life. It doesn't work that way. And we're seeing this. We're trying to blend. We're trying to make earth heaven, and earth will never be heaven because we want this, and we'll take a little bit of that. But yeah, we like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You got to understand something, brothers and sisters. The way the world's culture is and God's kingdom culture, they are literally polar opposites. They don't even think alike. I'm going to give you one instance because I don't have time to stay here. But the world says, climb on top of people. Do whatever you got to do to get on top. And God says, if you want to be great, be the servant. Polar opposites. The world thinks, man, if I got to give, if I'm going to get something, I got to just keep getting. I got to keep hoarding. I got to keep making. I got to keep storing up. And then this culture, God's culture says, the best way to get is to give. Polar opposite. And what we're doing is we're trying to digest the world's culture and we're trying to hope that it's going to work in God's culture. And you're going to be very miserable as time keeps going on. You're going to be very miserable trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in God's culture because they're totally different. And you and I are going to have to choose who we're going to serve. Can I get a witness? See, this is, you gotta check this out, brothers and sisters. Man, I wish I had some more time. If you're not careful, people are going to decide for you what is important. Because if you don't know what is valuable, and if you don't know what is worth giving your life for, then guess what? You're wasting your life. Because here's America's values. I can give it to you in a nutshell. It's popularity, it's pleasure, it's possessions, and it's power. That's it. And here's some of the kingdom values. Number one, God's purpose is more important than popularity. Say it with me, God's purpose. God's purpose. Check this out. Moses is heir to the throne. He's a celebrity. But if Moses had stayed as Pharaoh's grandson, nobody would even know who he is today. He would be a nobody. But he says God's purposes is more important than popularity. And guess what? We're still talking about him 6,000 years later. God's purpose is more important than popularity. Here's the second one. People are more important than pleasure. People are the only thing that's going to live as long as God does. And what we do, we're valuing things over people. And God says, no, value people over things. It's what Moses did. He didn't value the wealth of Egypt. He valued the people of God. Because people are going to last forever and pleasure only lasts for a moment. Here's the third thing. Value peace of mind more than possessions. Peace of mind. Moses gives up everything most people spend their whole life to get. He gives up pleasure. He gives up treasure. He gives up the world's measure of success. He gives it all up. Why? Because he wanted to have peace of mind. I know that I'm doing the plan and the purpose of God. You had to ask yourself after a while, is it more important for me to do this and lose my peace of mind? Or is it more important for me to have peace of mind and not do that? That makes sense. But see, if you don't value peace of mind, then the devil will keep you tormented all the time. Here's the last one, and then we'll go. You got to choose to live by faith and not by fear. And guess what? That's a choice you have to move and live in every day. I will not fear. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Moses had every reason to be scared. Did you understand that Pharaoh was a god? At that day and age, Pharaoh was a god, and whatever he said, that's what happened. If Pharaoh looked at you and said, cut off his hand, he didn't have to have a reason. They cut your hand off. And yet Moses walked right up and said, let my people go. He had every reason to be scared because Moses could have taken him out. But he went up to Pharaoh and he said, I want you to know something, Pharaoh. I answer to somebody higher than you. And I'm on mission here and I have a purpose. And you and I, you know what? In this day and age, we got to wake up and we got to remind ourselves, I will not live in fear. I am not going to be afraid. I'm going to take precaution. I'm going to protect myself, but I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to keep praying the prayer of faith and believing that God's touching people. This is our time to shine, brothers and sisters. And we got to choose to walk in faith and choose not to walk in fear. Can I get a witness? Let's stand together if you would. So I'm going to recap what I just said. You and I have got to stop caring about what other people think. And you got to clarify your own values because the world's value is sex, it's status, it's salary, and it's social followings. That's the world's values. And here's what the world says. He who has the most toys in the end wins. No, that's not true. Because he who has the most toys in the end still dies. And life is not about the acquisition of things. Because things will never make you happy. I can tell y'all really believe that. Because we've drank in too much of the world's culture. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to challenge you this morning to make four choices that have set you up for where you want to be in the future. You say, Pastor, how do I choose life? If God says choose life, how do I choose it? You choose life by choosing Jesus Christ. That's how you choose life. You choose life by not following your own path, but by following His path. You choose life by following His purpose and His plan because His purpose and His plan is better than yours will ever be. Can I get a witness? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I don't believe there's one person in this room and I don't believe there's one person that is watching us online that just wants to drift through the rest of their life. God, I believe with all of my heart that we want to move with purpose and direction. So help us not to be defined by how other people define us. Help us in this room to choose short-term pain to have long-term gain. And help us, Lord, to live by kingdom values and not this culture's values. And lastly, God, help us not to put our faith in things, but to put our faith in You. So God, I'm just saying, Lord, save us because we can't save ourselves. Lord, and we just come to You today in repentance and we ask You, God, to forgive us. I'm asking You as a pastor to forgive me because, Lord, there's been times that I've drank in too much of the culture of this world. God, help us to buy into kingdom values. That even though we're in the world, we would not love the world. God, I just pray that You would fill us all with Your Spirit. Empower us, lead us, and guide us. God, we're going to stop making excuses. We're not going to waste our time because we answer to a higher calling. Help us to invest our time in making good choices today that will lead us to where we want to be tomorrow. Father, I pray over the health of everyone under the sound of my voice, those who are watching. God, Lord, we ask You to apply the blood to the doorposts of our health again. That, God, we would not walk in fear, but walk in faith, knowing that You are leading us and You are guiding us. Keep us in Your care, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Now, if you're a believer, would you lift up your hands and just ask the Lord to help you right now? God, help us to digest Your word. That when we walk out of here, we don't forget what we've heard. God, that we won't just be a hearer only, but that we would be a doer of Your word. That, Lord, we would maybe go home and just really consider, what are our values? What are we willing to live for? What are we willing to die for? Who is defining who I am? God, I want to live for you. I want to live for your culture. I'm going to live in your kingdom. Come on, would you talk to the Lord right now? God, help us. God, help us. Help us to choose you. Help us to choose your culture. Help us to choose life. Help us, oh God, to make the right choices and the right decisions, God. Come on, why don't you just cry out before you go home? God, help me right now. Help me, Lord. I don't want this world to squeeze me into its mold. I don't want it to squeeze me into its thinking. Help me to be renewed in my mind through the power of your word. See the word of the Lord today? Well, I love you. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. No service tonight. Wednesday night, online service. Sunday morning, social distance, wear your mask. And then next Sunday night again, no service. You pray for me, pray for our family. And may the Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. I love you.